From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
You know, there are those who will tell you that running a board gaming and card gaming club for nerds is not the glamour job that it's cracked up to be. There are those that'll tell you that it's not all sunshine, lollipops and hookers. But I'm here to tell you that no, it is! Really, truly, the glamorous job it's cracked up to be.
Where are the hookers?
We are from the Hobart Game Society. Our names are Trent and Mark, and this is our radio show, The Dice Men Cometh. Welcome to another Wednesday evening. Mark, how are you?
Oh, I'm well, Trent. And yourself?
All right. What's
coming
up?
That's good. Look, we have got another, just for a change, action-packed show for you today. We are going to review one of, if not the great, Ameritrash games of all time, Cosmic Encounter.
You can't call it Ameritrash. It's much better than that.
Oh, yeah.
You're disparaging it already.
We are going to talk about the great nerd purge. It sounds like some sort of genocidal thing, but it's not. We'll tell you more.
And it sounds like something medicinal.
Why do we need a nerd purge? Because we get addicted so much to stuff. We're going to talk about that as well. All that and more coming up on The Dice Men Cometh.
Tool.
What?
Tool.
What did you just call me?
The band, Tool.
Oh.
It's becoming a tradition that I start, you know, with something at the heavier end of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah, rock!
This isn't Tool, though.
Oh.
But it does feature Maynard on guest vocals with the Deftones. This is for everybody waiting for the new Tool album. I am number one in the queue. This is the Deftones with Passenger. If you're in your car, turn this up very, very loud.
Rock and roll!
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, The Dice Men Cometh and the Deftones with Passenger opening up another week of chat about board games and card games and the great nerd purge. We'll be joined by PJ, who's organising that event at the Best Western Hotel this coming Saturday in just a sec. Find out a bit about that. But first, what we always do.
What we've been playing.
You start.
Well, you know what? I have cracked the top 10.
What?
I didn't even realise this, but the game I played on the weekend was the 10th of the top 10 games of Board Game Geek. I have played all of the top 10 games on Board Game Geek.
You've ticked them all off.
I have.
Well, you're much older than me, so, you know, I suppose you've had a little bit more time to do that.
Let me run down.
Please
number
go
one,
on, Elder Statesman.
Number one, Twilight Struggle.
Yes.
Number two, Through the Ages. Number three, Agricola. Number two, Puerto Rico.
Oh, these are all sounding very exciting.
Number five, Android Netrunner.
Ah, now you're talking.
Number six, the game I'm going to talk about in a minute. Number seven, Eclipse. Number eight, Power Grid. Number nine, Mage Knight. And number 10, Le Havre.
All great games in their own way, if a little Euro-y for my taste.
Look, it's certainly the heavier end of the spectrum, that's for sure, with yeah. Android Netrunner being in there. As a very much a different game.
So what did you play?
So I played Terra Mystica.
Ah.
This was the big hit of Essen 2012.
This is a huge box full of wood.
Yeah, exactly.
And listen, that's not a euphemism, all right? It is a large box full of wood.
It is. So it was the hit of the Essen Game Fair in 2012. Board Game Geek voted it their Golden Geek Board Game of the Year for 2013. It's been a huge hit. It hasn't had a really wide release, so it hasn't been readily available. And in fact, I think this is the first time I've seen it here in Tasmania. Yeah. I didn't see it at BorderCon last year.
Yeah, around the country, it's been a little bit hard to get.
Yeah, and, you know, supposedly the new Euro hotness.
So it's sort of, you're playing different fancy
you're
races trying to take
up
over.
Up to five different races where you're basically terraforming different parts of the planet to suit you. So the giants like to live in the mountains. The mermaids like to live in the swamp. The halflings like to live in holes in the ground. And so you're changing the terrain, if you like, to suit you better.
These are the nasty mermaids.
Yeah, that's right.
That eat you.
Yeah.
Not those nice
no,
ones.
No, not the nice ones with the big tails. And so you're terraforming the ground, and then you're building small buildings and bigger buildings. It's very much, you know, you've got so many things you can do in so little time and so few turns. It's
wow,
one of
so
those
you're reclaiming land just like they're doing at Macquarie Point here where they've got to clean up all that toxic waste from the... Yeah, that sounds really exciting,
look,
mate.
It's a strange theme. And It's a strange game, I must say. Like, there's so much to do. There's so many decisions to make. It's one of those things you don't feel like you're building an engine and you get the engine running and away you go. You feel like you're trying to assemble the parts to build an engine, and by the end of the game, you've got about one third of the parts for the engine ready.
Oh, wow.
And then you think, oh, maybe I should have done it this way. And like to me, it left me with that feeling. Like, it took 3.5 hours, and Gandalf the Grey took about an hour to explain it.
Right, right. And he plays at very slowly, so...
What's funny, every time I asked, whose turn is it?
It was
his turn. But look, everyone had fun. It's interesting. If you're interested in Euro games at all, I'd definitely give it a try. It is on the long end. It is on the heavy end. It's quite... I know what the word for it. It's quite...
It looks really attractive.
Elegant.
Yeah, all the hexes with the different colours for the land. But it's a little bit abstracty, though, with all those wooden pieces.
It is, yeah. And it is, like, the way the mechanics fit together is elegant, but it just doesn't have a narrative. It doesn't... Like, the theme, what a surprise for a Euro game, the theme is pasted on. It could be anything, okay. You know? while I enjoyed it, and I'd definitely play it again, it just left me... A bit, bleh.
Yeah. Look, I am looking forward to giving that a crack. All right. So go back, play again, learn the rules, and that way I don't have to play with John. We might all get a game done in one night.
Now, speaking of theme,
speaking of long games as well, and attractive looking ones. You and I are going to have a little bit of an argument about this because I finally got a chance to play Eldritch Horror.
Oh yeah.
This is the update on the whole Cthulhu mythos from Fantasy Flight Games. This is. Okay, so this is not Arkham Horror. This is not Mansions of Madness. No. This is not even the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game.
Or Elder Sign.
Elder Sign. And there's one other that I'm forgetting in there. Anyway, so Eldritch Horror promises this globe-trotting, rollicking adventure, Raiders of the Lost Ark style, hidden catacombs and dark jungles, fighting off various monsters. It's a co-op game where you're all different kinds of adventurers and investigators gathering... clue tokens, little green clue tokens, which you've then got to play on the various encounters with monsters to try and deactivate them. And what this basically means is that you go to a location like Istanbul, you draw a card, you roll some dice, you might get hurt, you might score a bonus, you might get a weapon, you might score a clue token. And while you're doing this, the clock is ticking as well down towards some kind of monster-induced apocalypse.
Yep.
You've got 250 tokens in this bloody thing, 300 cards, 12 different characters to play, a bunch of monsters to fight. The thing scales up and down from... 2 to 8. You can play this as a solo game. God, I can't think of anything sadder. We played with 6. Look, I can't say I didn't enjoy it. It was 3 hours. We didn't finish it. It was a learning game. 6 players. Okay, this thing apparently scales to 8. I can't see that happening. It takes too long. And really, it just feels like a bunch of random crap happening to you. You're wandering blindly around the world, stumbling through the various continents. Maybe this will help me, maybe it won't. You talked about a lack of a clear narrative. For me, that's what was missing here. There wasn't really a sense of urgency to try and, as the monsters were counting down. Maybe it was just the luck of the draw. There's an awful lot of randomness with the various cards and tokens in this. And I just wish the whole thing was just a bit tighter.
Yeah.
I will give it another crack at some point with a few less players, though.
Yeah, but I think...
On initial impressions, not good, though.
Yeah, well, when I played it with 4, I think that might be the sweet spot because it didn't go too long. Your turn comes around again quick. You sort of can work as a team. But you've got your own, I know, I felt like you've got your own little job to do, and it was an easy case of, I'm going to go here and do this, you go there and do that, like to get a plan together.
Okay. Well, look, speaking of games that you might have invested a lot of money in and then found out, hey, they're not all they're cracked up to be, we've all been there. Our next guest is going to help us out with that, the great Nerd Purge, selling off your second-hand games. We'll talk about that in just a sec on The Dice Men Cometh. Toy endlessly on The Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM, a terribly appropriate song for big boys and their toys because we talk board games and card games on this show.
And joining us tonight, we have PJ, the man who's behind the Great Nerd Purge.
That's right, guys, the Great Nerd Purge. We are having this weekend. It's going to be excellent. I have no idea what to say about it, other than it's going to be a great lot of fun.
So, like, nerds up against the wall, you know, blindfolds.
Yeah, or is it some kind of thing where, say, if you're feeling a little bit backed up, I didn't want to tell my friends I couldn't go riding a bike because I was feeling, you know...
I just listen to the show when I'm feeling a bit backed up. Purges every time.
No, look, it's excellent, and, you know, 8 out of 10 doctors recommend it.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. On a serious note, this weekend, we're looking for a whole nerd experience, if you will. So we're talking about a buy, swap, and sell meet, obviously, which is where the Purge comes from. It's also got the Games Day running. So this weekend, Dylan Collins, who's been a big driving force for the X-Wing game down here, is running an X-Wing tournament themed on a trench run, which is pretty cool. He's put a lot of effort into the terrain.
Do we need to explain what an X-Wing trench run is? Surely we don't. You've seen Star Wars. Who hasn't seen Star Wars?
Yeah, I think if you've seen Star Wars, you know what an X-Wing trench run is.
And this is with little miniature models of X-Wings, hand-painted by tiny...
look fantastic.
By tiny little Bhutanese children in...
No,
very
they're not.
Badly ventilated.
They're not, by poorly paid Americans who otherwise would be out of work.
Oh, is that right?
No,
pretty sure
not,
they're
art anyway.
Students, but anyway. So, on another note, we've got Cameron Bennett, another driving force down here for the War Machine side of things, is running a Warmer Hordes tournament. I don't play a Warmer Hordes, so I don't know too much. From what I understand, it's a 35-point tournament.
Now, we don't even know what Warmer Hordes is.
Yeah, no, I do. I was just talking to our friend Ben about it on Monday night at St. Patrick's Day.
All right, well, fine. Let's just you know, humour me, all right? Because, look, neither of us are miniature gamers, all right?
In fact, we're both quite large gamers.
Yes. We don't war game with the miniatures like your Warhammer 40Ks and what have you. Now, you are part of the Van Diemen's
Wargaming... I'm part of Van Diemen's Wargaming community.
All right,
which
is a long-running wargaming club.
It's been down around here for about 10 years now. It's just changed venue in the last 12 months.
If you had to explain the appeal of wargaming to somebody, to like aliens who just landed here and were saying, what the hell's that thing? You'd say, hey, why are you talking English so well and this is what it is? What's the appeal?
It's a manly game. It's a manly game with dice and it's a great social experience. Won't get you laid, but... it's a board game, but on a 6x4 board, basically.
Isn't it just a huge money sink, though?
Aren't all board games?
Yeah, true. Yeah, you've got us there.
Hence the nerd purge.
So not only have you got the opportunity to sell your stuff for the low price of $10 for a table this weekend, but with people selling stuff, you're going to have options to buy things. Now, I know the guys from Hogs are coming down. They're going to be running some board games, and I think they're going to be clearing their cupboards.
That's true.
Yep,
that's true.
Definitely.
And we're not just talking board games or miniatures here. It's comics, DVDs.
Comics, DVDs, you name it. If you've got it, you want it, come down and have a look.
You know, I'm probably not going to re-watch those old DVDs of Dark Angel that I ordered on NTSC. from the States and Amazon in 1995, so...
Maybe I could finally get rid of that Conan the Barbarian original director's cut VHS that I've got.
Oh, no, I want that. Oh. See? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. We've also got running during the day, and starting from 5 o'clock, we're running Magic the Gathering drafts. So Magic drafts are always pretty popular with the Magic community, so 3 boosters, $18 to get in. Open up the decks, pass them around like you would for a normal draft, and sink a draft while you're at it. Have a beer, have a scotch.
Draft and draft.
It's going to be pretty huge, guys. It's going to be great.
How many people do you think are coming along with this stage?
Conservative thoughts at the moment, we're looking at between 70 to 100 people through the doors. Wow. So it's going to be a pretty big event.
Probably. It's all day Saturday,
all day Saturday from 9 a.m. till 11 p.m. that
have
night.
Have we said exactly where this is?
Right. So we're talking, it is at the Best and Western Hotel in Hobart, which is on Bathurst Street, 156 Bathurst Street.
Which is the old McCure for anybody who's working that way. Up the hill.
Yeah, corner of Harrington and Bathurst.
Yeah. That's right. There's paid parking next door and there's street parking around the venue as well, so it's pretty easy to get to.
And you're on the ground floor when
you're on the ground floor, so as soon as you enter, there's 2 rooms straight through. You walk past a couple of couches. On the right will be the gaming room. And straight ahead will be the Purge tables.
And what's the sort of policy around pricing, PJ? Are we just leaving it to people to haggle, or are we just going to be Post-it Note City?
Consider it like a market stall. Mm. Right? People are going to be asking certain things for certain things. You got to pay what people are asking. Feel free to haggle. I know for a fact there's going to be some great deals on some miniature wargaming stuff, and I know a lot of guys are going to be clearing out some awesome Magic card deals as well.
Might want to get there early in the day to grab the bargains.
If you want to get on the bargains, get there, you know, pretty early.
I know a guy who wants to get rid of 7 folders of Magic cards all in one lot for the bargain price of I don't know what he might sell for.
Yeah, I think I know that guy too. I think I'm looking at him.
Yeah.
I think he told me $1.05
first. Yeah, because this is obviously a common problem for a lot of gamers. You get right into a system that maybe goes past its use-by date, or maybe you find the new hotness and you move on from it. You've still got that stuff gathering dust in the cupboard. Here's a chance to clear it out. Is there a particular system that maybe you're not too embarrassed to talk about, PJ, that you're going to be selling off?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to have much of a chance to run my stuff myself because obviously I'm running the event, so I'm going to be everywhere.
That's a great excuse not to own up. Come on, you can pass this stuff on to somebody else to flog off.
My personal weakness is probably Warhammer and Warhammer Warhammer 40K and Warhammer Fantasy. I rotate between the two systems annually and usually pick up a new army every year.
My God.
I still don't get laid because of it. But on a serious note, you know, I try to swap and sell where I can. You know, but the event's not just about the buy, swap and sell thing. It's more about community integration and meeting each other. Because, I mean, there's a lot of carryover between the systems. I mean, we all roll dice. You know, and hopefully you can keep rolling them sixes. So that's really what I want to see this weekend is, you know, just a bit of networking and just to increase popularity of the community.
And PJ, part of the money or the money raised is going to a great cause?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So the money we raised this weekend from ticket sales and table sales will be going to the local cadet unit, TS Derwent.
Naval Cadets, that is.
Naval Cadets, that's right. They're a great organisation for the youth of Hobart.
Absolutely, they've turned out some fine, outstanding young men.
This is training the youth of Hobart to kill people on the water?
No, discipline, seamanship skills.
Sailing.
Life skills.
Not tying.
Protecting Australia's borders.
Wearing funny hats and bell-bottom trousers.
Yeah,
Maybe the Navy's got rid of those these days.
Probably not.
I hope they have. Those lanyards are horrible to iron.
All right, so look, one last time. The Great Nerd Purge this Saturday at the Best Western at the top of Bathurst Street on the corner of Bathurst and Harrington, in fact, on the ground floor from...
Starting at 9 a.m. and finishing up at 11 p.m.
Now, one thing we haven't said is that it's $3 to get in.
That is correct. $3 to get in the door, and if you're still after a table, look up Nerd Purge on Facebook and... send me your details on there, and I can organise a purge table for $10 for you if you're after one. So.
PJ from the Van Diemen's Wargaming Club, mate, we're going to have to get you back in to talk a little bit more about tabletop miniatures and stuff, because it's an area, frankly, I know nothing about. But as you say, there is cross-pollination. We all roll dice.
Absolutely.
And all of these, you know, different gaming groups, sometimes they don't like to talk to each other, but really... the world's too small.
Particularly in Hobart.
Tasmania's too small. Exactly. Thanks for coming in, mate.
Thanks, mate. All seeing each other naked at some stage.
The Great Nerd Purge this Saturday at the Best Western Hotel. This is the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
That was Gold Panda with their song Community. You're with Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We are the Dice Men. We cometh to talk more about board games, card games, tabletop games, Warhammer.
I know.
War Machines.
I know. And look, talking of community, it's going to be great to get Hobart's gaming community and all the various colours and flavours that it comes in at the Great Nerd Purge this Saturday at the Best Western Hotel. Have you got a lot of stuff to sell?
Look, I've only just started to look, and as soon as I sort of turn my eyes to
you've been moving house and stuff, so surely you've got a box ready-made.
I have got lots of boxes. I unpacked most of my games onto a shelf.
Right.
And it's so difficult because you look and you say, yeah, I really like that game, but I haven't got it at the table for 3 years.
You've got to draw a line under that. I reckon 3 years is long
enough. Absolutely. Yeah. And look, This is one of the issues I find, you know, and I guess it's the reason for the Great Nerd Purge, apart from raising money for these naval cadets, is, you know, we get into these hobbies and we get hooked.
We get absolutely addicted.
I mean, if I look at it, you know, 6 years ago I didn't own a board game. Within 6 months, you know, I had hundreds of dollars worth.
Can I just share with you what I was doing at like 12:30 this morning?
What were you doing?
This is just me and half a bottle of wine going through my Netrunner cards.
Oh, no.
Just reading and going, oh, well, that's going to work really well with that one. I've actually gone and bought a sheet of foam core and I've lined out my box so it's all in rows so I can stuff the cards. I am completely hooked. And this is not the first card game that I've been hooked on either. Now, way back in 1982, there was a game called Illuminati.
Ooh.
From Steve Jackson Games.
Yes.
Okay, then came Illuminati New World Order. So it's a game of conspiracies. It was originally in a sort of box, sort of, you know, finite card. You bought one box and that was it. Frankly, it's, you know, it hasn't held up well. It's not a great game by today's standards. At the time, in the 80s when it first came out, there was nothing else like it. So then in the 90s, they resurrected it as a trading card game with random booster packs. You had to buy a whole bunch of them. I had heaps. I had folders full of cards. I was absolutely hooked.
Actually, can I interrupt here? Mm. I do remember one night I went along to a place where people used to come along and play board games about 6-7 years ago, maybe.
Right.
And, you know, at this place, mostly people played Euro-type games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there was this guy there one night, a thick-set guy, bearded, sort of gruff-looking, and you know, it came to the stage where it was like, oh, what are we going to play next? And this guy said, oh, I've got this game, Illuminati New World Order, you'll love it, it's great. And I was sort of like, who is this guy? And here I am, is it 7 years later, sitting across from him at a radio console doing a show?
I
who can believe it?
I resent being called thick-set. Thank you. I'm festively plump. That's what my mother always said. Thank you, Cartman.
But that was my introduction to Illuminati, and I actually enjoyed it that night.
Yeah, look, it's fine. I mean, look, by today's standards, it's a little embarrassing, but that's not a game I'm going to sell. But look, those binders of the trading card. I gave those away.
Yeah.
I gave those away to a friend one, and I've regretted it ever since, but, maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't got room in my life
days. I've still got my complete collection, the whole set, of the 1973 Planet of the Apes cards.
They're probably worth something, actually.
No, they're not. I looked at them on eBay. They're worth about $50.
Oh, okay.
Which, given that I've had them for the best part of 34... or maybe almost 40 years, is not a lot, really.
Have you still got any of the sticks of gum that they came with?
No, I think I ate them all. But, you know, I had a similar experience where I moved back here to Tasmania, actually, and didn't really know many people. Went and hung out, as you do, as a nerd. Went and hung out at the local library and started playing online computer games and made some friends. And one of the friends said, oh, I'm going to introduce you guys to this card game. You won't believe it. It's amazing. It's called Magic. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, my God.
And at the time, I hadn't. And, of course, this guy had a massive amount of cards. He built decks for us, so we sat around and played it. And I was just blown away.
Yep, hooked.
I had never seen anything like this. So then I had to go and buy a starter set and a few boosters, build a few decks. And at the time, I had quite a good job. And, man, did I blow some money on those stupid random boosters.
Why do we do this,
Looking
Mark?
For the card.
Is it some kind of arms race? Is it some kind of macho, male, territorial, bizarre mating activity ritual thing? What would an anthropologist say about this acquisition disorder that we seem to have?
It's quite amazing.
Because it's not just games. I collect comic books as well.
Yeah.
All right?
I have so much have the completionist bug. That was the thing with my Magic cards. I didn't want to build decks that would blow anyone out of the water. I just wanted to have them all. And it wasn't until I realized that there was 14,000 cards and there were a handful of them that were worth $500 a pop that I was never going to have them all.
It's like Smaug in the Lonely Mountain. What's he doing with all that gold?
That's right.
He just wants to sit on it. That's all he wants to do. So just roll around in it and just eat it.
And every now and again, just sit there in the middle of the night with a bottle of wine and make decks. I've been there. I've been there, brother.
I am there. But look, we're trying to offload some of this. It's true confessions time at the Great Nerd Purge this Saturday.
Look, and I'm going to have some of my stuff there. You're going to have some of my stuff there. We're inviting Hogs members to come along and even give us stuff if they've only got the one or two things.
Now, look, speaking of classic games, Cosmic Encounter.
Yes.
I want to discuss this at length. This is an oldie but a goodie, and we're going to talk about it. An in-depth review coming up on the Dice Men Cometh next.
Now, you know what? when PJ was in here, to me, he had a striking resemblance.
Oh, hang on. This is a song segue.
To a certain...
Everybody stop and listen. Mark's setting up a song that he wants to play. No, yes, Mark, I'm paying attention.
There's no joke here.
Oh,
I'm just
really?
Saying he had a certain... He had a resemblance to a certain DCI from the 1970s. Oh!
They reckon you got concussion. Well, I couldn't give a tart's furry cup if half your brains are falling out. Don't ever waltz into my kingdom acting king of the jungle.
Who the hell are you?
Gene Hunt, your DCI, and it's 1973, almost dinner time. I'm having oops.
Oh, yes, a classic. Both Gene Hunt and David Bowie, Life on Mars. Did you ever see that TV show, Trent?
You know, I never actually did, but
I thoroughly
approve of the song. Yeah,
oh,
great,
it's
great
fantastic.
Mm.
So...
Cosmic Encounter.
Cosmic Encounter.
We occasionally like to talk on this show about, sort of gateway games, entrances into the board gaming hobby. We like to talk about some of our favourite games and make recommendations on what people should pick up. This one falls in both of those categories. It is an unreserved double thumbs up recommendation from the Dice Men Cometh.
No, hang on.
What?
I don't think so.
You don't like this?
Don't count me in on this one.
Cosmic Encounter is a classic board
yes,
game.
Yes, I agree with that.
Let's give you a little bit of background. We'll set this up here, okay? This is, yes, a science fiction themed game. Bear with me. First came out in 1977.
Correct.
Multiple expansions at the time, so it stayed in print for quite a while. It wasn't re-released until 1992.
91. And again in 2000.
Actually in 86 as well, sorry. Yes, and 2000. And the current version... probably the finest one through none other than Fantasy Flight Games, the leading board game publisher, I'd say, in terms of the quality products.
Well, we just talked before about X-Wing, we talked about Game of Thrones, we talked about Netrunner.
And there have been four expansions for this game so far. So look, it's been in print for 40 years plus, okay? And there's a very good reason for that, because it's a bloody great game. Now, originally when this came out, think back to 1977, there's Monopoly, there's Mousetrap, there's Cluedo, there's nothing else. There's Scrabble, okay? There's Boggle, were people playing Boggle?
Well, this is well before... the time of, the great Avalon Hill games. This is about the time maybe that Dungeons and Dragons has crept into a couple of bedrooms.
That's
but
right.
Really nothing else. I mean, there was nothing there.
So the idea was to have a game that would be completely different every time you play it, while being simple enough to teach to anyone and short enough for a family to not, lose interest in it. And that is Cosmic Encounter. Shall I just explain how this actually works before you get in and bag me for it?
Yeah, please do, because I've never really understood it.
Oh, come on, it's not that hard. Every player starts with five planets, okay? There isn't actually a central board, there's just lots of bits of cardboard. You've got five planets, you've got 20 little spaceships, little UFOs, they stack on top of each other, you put four of those ships on each of your five planets, and the object of the game is to land five of your ships on planets outside your own. So that could be on any of your opponent's five planets. You just got to colonize it with one of your ships. How it works on your go is that a player chooses an opponent to invade. You commit a...
Well, you don't choose, though. That's the thing.
Well, okay.
You draw a random card. You can't even go, okay, this turn I'm really going to get Trent. Because you flip a card and it's like, I've got to attack Fred.
You flip a card and it's that player's turn. You decide who it is that you actually have to attack, though. So you've been playing it wrong all this time.
Well, maybe I have.
I think so. You decide who it is you're going to attack. You commit a certain number of your ships to that from your five planets. It's a maximum of four. The defender commits a certain number of ships to their defense. That's probably going to be a tie. And then everybody calls for allies.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And this is where the fun starts, all right? Because if you help the attacker, you actually get to place a colony on the planet. If you help the defender, you get more cards, and you always need cards. Look, card play is really where it's at, because it's in the card play that boosts your attack strength.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to have four ships in your attack, plus your card. That might be a 40, it might be a 4, or anywhere in between. There's also some other cards you can play that...
you thought you had allies? Here's a card!
Exactly.
No allies for you this turn.
All sorts of special effects. You can also play... a negotiation card that allows the two opponents to settle an outcome, usually swapping a colony on each other's planets. So there's a huge possibilities open for negotiation with this game. The winner gets their base on the opponent's planet. The loser has their ships go into the warp, which is kind of just like a holding cell, and you eventually are able to get some of those out. So look, it's fairly simple. You might not have quite followed what I've told you there, but it's not a lot to explain, and when you see it all laid out in front of you, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, in terms of mechanics, it's simple. To me, it's the randomness, though.
Where it gets interesting is with the alien powers as well, yes. Because every player plays a different alien race. There's, in the current version, 50 different alien races that you can play. It's not like you have to know them all either. You just have to understand the one it is that you've got. And look, the great thing about... Okay, yes, it's random. You draw a random alien power. You get a random set of cards, and it is a random turn sequence. You're flipping cards to determine whose go it is. But therein lies the unpredictability of it. Mm. No two games are the same.
Look, I think one of the problems maybe I've had is the person, you know, in these negotiation games, sometimes you have the person who just never shuts up and wants to organise both sides of the battle.
What are you looking at me like that
for? No, I'm not. I'll say hello to our good friend Niall, who's away in Canberra somewhere. You know, those people, sometimes they make gaming a lot of fun. Other times, not so much.
Well, I put it to you that that's not the game's fault.
No, you're right.
All right. This is, I keep saying it, it's an oldie but a goodie. There is negotiation, there is arguing, there is name-calling, but there is also the deft art of calculating your strength and the judicious selection of allies. Because, you can just throw it open for anyone to come in and help you, but because the people who are helping you out are going to get a benefit if you win, you might not want them to help you out. And so, it's just the game with everything. I think just enough randomness to keep you on your toes as well. It's also possible to have a joint victory in this game.
Yes.
Okay, you might actually negotiate an outcome where the two of you get that fifth colony in that last go of the game. I played this a couple of Hogs Nights ago. We played an awesome eight-player game. I think it was eight players of this, and we had players of all ages, crotchety, grumpy, old, bearded men, thick set, like myself, and young whippersnappers barely out of their diapers as well. Everybody had a fantastic time. It is a family-level game with just enough sophistication to keep the hardcore gamer interested. Cosmic Encounter, go out and buy it!
Maybe. Look, I wanted to actually just tell you, I don't know if you've looked at Kickstarter lately.
Yeah.
I saw this amazing Kickstarter goodness the other night. They've just about ticked every box. There's there's a tactical war game PJ might know about, actually, called Mercs.
Oh, yes.
And there's this new Kickstarter for Mercs Recon, which is a cooperative game, sort of like a squad game where you're playing these Mercs in a sort of a futuristic city-state corporation-type world where there's no longer countries, there's corporations fighting against corporations.
Standard corporate dystopia, boring.
Well, the battle takes place in an office. It's fighting from cubicle to cubicle.
Oh, okay, now you've got my attention.
Yeah, you know...
That sounds like every day at my work.
And it's like a modular board where, you know, you build the cubicles and the drink coolers and all that sort of stuff, and you're fighting there. Look, they've already... I think it's... They were trying to raise 50 grand... It's been going for a couple of days. They've already raised $260,000.
Oh, my God.
It's still got another 30 days to go. Oh. It just looks beautiful. It's another one of these ones where they've just ticked every box because it's a game, it's cooperative, it's got miniatures, it's got great... They've made a great little video.
Are the rules available for download?
Yeah, they are, actually.
Okay, because that's always the secret with Kickstarter. Read the rules first. If they don't make sense, don't buy it.
Okay, I love their byline. Every play is a good one. Every plan is a good one until the first shot is fired.
So you can take a chance on something that's untried, untested on Mercs, or you can buy Cosmic Encounter, which everybody knows and loves. And that is us for another week.
That is us. We are going to be hanging out at the Great Nerd Purge on Saturday.
See you there.
Have a good night. You're with Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You've been listening to The Dice Men Cometh. We're going to leave you with the Tassie Act, Little Bear, with their dark eyes.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.